Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider von Hinowitz. People don't know that that's my other last name.
That it's going to be a silly show tonight.
No. I'm from the Strider von Hinowitz side of the family, and I didn't want to disclose that.
I'm glad.
Until we got to March 11th. Anyway, we're going to explore these truths, what we hope are truths anyway, or at least arrows pointing in the direction of truth, through humor, albeit often silliness, conscious conversation, poetry. Yeah, poetry. I like to think of it as word pictures, music skits, and hopefully your comments, because you can call in and join us. We'd love that. We had a fabulous caller last week from Georgia. I love that. Anyway, the number is 888. Write this down. 627. Put down the skillet you're making eggs for dinner with. 6008.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
We love it that Inside Out, The Naked Truth is sponsored by Go Raw.
Can't get better than that.
Yeah, and that was purely happened. Okay. Anyway, Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods and in the organic section, of, not in the tire section, by the way, not in the used tire section either. This organic section of Costco, among other places.
Go strap to Raw. On your seatbelts, everybody. It's going to be a silly ride tonight.
I'll stop. Go to goraw.com. And find a store near you and find out more about Go Raw products. And we love our friends at Go Raw. Robert, hello.
Well, tonight's show. What are we going to do tonight, Errol Strider? What are we going to investigate tonight? What are we going to probe into and tickle the insides of?
All right, if you're going to be that way, let me say this about it, about tonight's show. Well, let me start by asking you a friend. A friend. There was a wonderful Freudian slip. Anyway, so to you, our friends out there, colleagues, fellow sojourners on this tiny little orb out in the middle of the infinitely vast cosmos, do you ever wish for a doorway that will take you out of your own point of view with its tired, overused perceptions and habits of thinking? Especially if that point of view keeps showing you that which is distasteful. Okay, so maybe not. You like your point of view and all the concomitant judgments that come with it, not to mention the self-justified blame and shame that we can project onto others and ourselves. Hey, I do it. Let's face it, it feels good to be self-justified, a time-honored way to ward off self-doubt, which is why I need to practice what is tonight's topic, innocent perception. Bear with me here. How about just for a few moments, well, an hour tonight, in fact, stepping out of what you think you know and all the assumptions and conclusions you've developed over your lifetime in order to navigate your way through the often dangerous obstacles that life throws your way. And how would you like to, for tonight, be willing not to know, to have innocent perception? For that is the topic of our show. Now, we're going to be doing several skits and talk about it and uncover it. And pretty soon we're going to do a piece that's been very popular called The Innocents. So we'll do our best when you call in to maintain our innocent perception so you can share whatever is going on with you and let that innocent childlike mind ask some questions. Oh, one more thing about innocent perception. My 92-year-old Auntie Tina once asked me while we were looking up at the sky from a balcony on a high rise in Miami Beach, Florida, in all sincerity, she asked, "What's on the other side of the sky?" Now that's beginner's mind. Welcome aboard.
Well, you know, I often pray, and I pray, "Let me see as you see, dear mystery, without judgments that separate me from my brother and sister. Help me to separate the actors from the actions and be open to forgiving even when I know not how to forgive." When I pray this prayer, I feel like a child at the age where we wear our innocence on the outside of our being. I delight in the movement, color, sounds of everything around me. I laugh readily at love. I cry at negative energy and forgive, even forget instantly when it is removed. Everything is happening for the first time, and everything is awesome. My child self is not childish, but filled with delight. Everyone in my presence is a collection of moving energy that I either harmonize with or feel discordant. In the moment of connection, and every moment is connected to me and whom, where, and whenever, I feel these moments more and more. Now, coupled with a somewhat maturing consciousness, I am even in awe of my conceptual world, the world beyond my physical body. My senses pale in the discovery of that which lies beyond it, where the light of being moves through me, within me, and beyond me. I love it all.
I'd like to have what she's having. Is it on the menu? I don't see it on the menu. We got a couple bills. I'll look on our bills. Maybe it came on our bills.
It was interesting. When I started to think of innocent perception, I really did picture myself as I remembered my children, our children, when they were really innocent and how delightful they were. And they'd cry and we'd rush in to rescue them from whatever we thought was bad. And we'd say, what happened? And they'd look at us like, what? It was already in the past. They didn't even have a memory of it.
They couldn't even remember who we were. We have to remind them every other minute. Mom and Dad here.
And they delighted in us the way we delighted in them. We really did, you know. That's a piece of
that's a poem I might do. I remember once when we took our son Lev to the play area where they have rides, you know, places mm-hmm. they have rides, and they have those bump-em cars. Mm-hmm. And they had bump-em cars for little kids. And I just remember how thrilled I was at the joy he experienced on that bump-em card. And I'll see if I can find that poem during the
show. I don't
think
it's called bump-em. I think it's called bumper.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and bump-em is what you do when you're in those cars.
Oh,
you bump-em.
Bump-em, okay. That's what stuck with me.
Because you liked bumping them.
Yeah, I like bump-em. What sets this stage for this concept, innocent perception, I just want to reflect back to some couple traditions. One is the Buddhist tradition of a beginner's mind. You know, another reference to it is from A Course in Miracles. No matter how filled up with confidence in your own point of view, you at least can admit that you don't know all there is to know, which I think is a beautiful first step, if that's where you can get on. And then I'm reminded of Yeshua, known to the world as Jesus, where he said you have to become as a little child in order to enter this kingdom of heaven, which he spoke of, which continues to remain a mystery. In fact, Rochelle and I, as you may notice during the weeks and months we hope we'll spend together, we often use the word the mystery to describe this place. or God, or
however you want to call it, that which is beyond our finite mind. I mean, in truth, that's why I call it the mystery, because my mind can't wrap itself around infinity.
And the other day I read in one of Glenda Green's books that I often quote, where Yeshua is speaking, and he said, "This day, treat it as if, you know, it's the first and last day of your life." It's like, so where? But I made plans for next Friday. We're going boating.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, that sometimes people in our lives do things that we find not good. I mean, they feel reprehensible almost, you know, to use a very judgmental word. And yet, when I look in the face of the person who I may be accused of doing these terrible things, and I look in their eyes, I do see beyond their fear, beyond their craziness, beyond everything, their innocence. And when I do, I find myself loving them. I just, it's really hard not to love them.
You know, what the converse of it, first of all, let me back up and say what we hope you'll come away with from the program tonight is of having had an experience of being innocent in the moment, available. Let us bathe you through our music and our language and the pauses we may take. Allow yourself to be bathed in what's available in this very now, which is accessible through innocence. And that's where we are. So to kind of help us get oriented in that direction, I'm going to share something with you, and it's going to lead into a little song. And so we incorporate music in our show because we feel it's very important to engage the right brain. You know, Rochelle and I, God knows, can be very conceptual, but there's enough right brain in us that we recognize we need to allow.
I try to bathe my concepts in right brain.
You do, you know, actually. You know.
Like you bathe a puppy.
I love that. By the way, here we're broadcasting from Lupin Lodge, which is a clothing optional environment, community, resort, wonderful place, 110 acres. You reminded me about bathing. We bathed a couple deer the other day. They just walked up and just let us spray them with soap and bathe them.
They did not. That's a total fabrication. They don't let you get that close. I mean, they get you, let you get close, but I don't think they would let you touch them.
It's wonderful to have deer just like right there out the window and to live in this wooded place. And we'd love to have you come out here and visit us sometime. So please let us know when you're coming. Anyway, this is a piece I'd like to share with you now, and let us take us into a song. These are some, this is a poem. Here it goes. I guess you really did it this time. Left yourself in your war path, lost your balance on a tightrope, lost your mind trying to get it back. Wasn't it easier in your lunchbox days, always a bigger bed to crawl into? Wasn't it beautiful when you believed in everything and everybody believed in you? It's all right, just wait and see. Your string of lights is still bright to me. Oh, you who are is not where you've been. You're still an innocent. That's right. You're still an innocent. Did some things you can't speak of, but at night you live it all again. You wouldn't be shattered on the floor now if only you had seen what you know now then. Wasn't it easier in your firefly-catching days when everything out of reach someone bigger brought down to you? Wasn't it beautiful, running wild till you fell asleep before the monsters caught up to you? It's all right. Wait and see. Your string of lights is still bright to me. Time turns flames to embers. You'll have new Septembers. Every one of us is messed up too. Minds change like the weather. I hope you remember. Today is never too late to be brand new. It's all right. Wait and see. Your string of lights is still bright to me. Oh, you who are not what you've been, you're still an innocent.
Guess you really did it this time. Left yourself in your warpath. Lost your balance on a tightrope. lost your mind trying to get it back. Wasn't it easier in your lunchbox days? Always a bigger bill to crawl into. Wasn't
That was Taylor Swift. Lyrics and the song by Taylor Swift, Innocent. Beautiful song. I believe, and I thought her poetry, which I read before, in case you didn't notice, was just right on.
Mm-hmm. Whoop. I liked it too. It reminds me of that piece that you wrote that we performed so many times in so many places, which happens to be one of my very favorite pieces. I like to do that. Like to treat the listening audience to that piece.
Okay.
It's called The Innocence.
It is called The Innocent.
Written by Errol Strider. And
Errol Strider Hemowitz. I want people to know my real
so
name.
So we've got a man and woman standing on stage or standing in the world in this sense. And they start. Isn't he cute?
Oh, yes. So adorable.
Oh, look at this one. So cuddly.
Oh, yes. Don't you just wish you could squeeze them to pieces?
Oh, yes. They're so innocent.
It's so pure. I just love them. I wish I could pick them all up and just carry them around with me.
Oh, yes. And just squeeze them all up.
Oh, look at this little muffin. Look at her smile.
And that little monkey's frowning. Is that cute?
Oh, my goodness. Look at the scrumptiousness throwing a tantrum.
Oh, its little world must have just fallen all apart. So sad.
Oh, would you look at that face? Have you ever seen anything so precious?
So delectable.
Oh, you know what I love the most? Is when they've got that expression of, I've got it all figured out, on their little faces.
Oh, yes, it's so marvelous. One is cuter than the other.
How can you compare such delicacies?
Oh, look here. That one's talking.
Ah, oh, I love it when they talk. What's he saying?
It's something about a job.
A job? Isn't that Marvy? Can you imagine such cuteness working?
Oh, what's that one saying?
Oh, she's annoyed about her house being such a mess with nobody to help her clean it up, and she's
how
got company up coming coming over for dinner.
How sweet.
Oh, look at that one. He's all dressed up as a soldier and looking very powerful.
Oh, such a snuggums. And he's giving orders too.
And all these others obeying him? Ah. Aren't they grand?
Oh, don't you wish you could just put them all in your arms and hug them inside and out?
Oh, look over here at this one being a business person. Oh, she's so organized.
And so in control.
Delightful.
Oh, my Lord. If they knew how we were seeing them now, they'd just die of embarrassment.
Oh, but so pure. Oh, I wish they could see themselves the way we do.
You know what's so funny?
What?
What? They take themselves so seriously.
They do not see how cute and innocent they really are.
And they try to be nice.
Yeah, but they're not nice. They're cute.
Oh, yeah, but you can never tell them that.
Oh, no, they'd be insulted. They want to appear clever and important.
I know. And that's when they're the cutest.
I know.
Oh, sometimes I wish there was a way to tell them.
Oh, me too.
Oh, they have such a hard time opening up. They are so scared of love.
No, unbelievable.
Oh, you know, but sometimes the way they treat each other, it just breaks my heart.
Oh, I know. Ooh. It's all I can do to keep myself from going down there and separating them and making them take a time out.
Oh, look at that one. What's he doing?
Oh, he's playing with himself.
Oh, that is so cute. And look how guilty he looks. Oh,
some of them think giving themselves pleasure is bad.
Really?
Yeah, and others think the only thing they're here to do is give themselves pleasure. Go figure.
That is so silly. I mean, what is amazing is that they decide what is good and bad.
Oh, look over here. This one's being very upset with herself.
Well, what did she do?
Not living up to her own standards, I'll bet.
Oh, they really expect themselves to be perfect, don't they?
Yes, and that is one of the cutest things they do. Trying to be perfect. That is just so sweet.
Oh, my.
By the way, did you ever try to talk to
Yes, them? Yes.
Well,
it was impossible.
Impossible?
Well, look at the situation. I think they're adorable just the way they are, and they think they have to be different just to be okay. I mean, there's no basis for any real communication.
What do you expect? How could they trust anyone who has such a different opinion of them than they do?
I know. They run around trying to prove that they're good. And when you tell them they're good enough, they don't hear a word you're saying.
I know. I think they're so good they don't hear a word you say. They'd rather be right than happy.
Of course, it's all part of their cuteness. Oh, by the way, did you ever pinch one of them on the cheek?
Yeah. Yes. Well, sometimes when they're sleeping, who could resist such deliciousness?
Oh, I never did, but I've always wanted to.
Oh, do it. It's heaven. I think they're so beautiful when they're sleeping.
Oh, of course, it's really all the same.
What's that?
Well, they seem to be sleeping, whether they're sleeping or awake.
That's true.
Should we try and wake them?
Oh, no. Let them sleep a while. They'll wake up, and soon you'll see.
What?
They'll be cuter than ever.
Oh. I think I love doing that piece so much because when I'm in the middle of doing it, I remind myself that that's me. I'm the innocence. I'm the cuteness. I'm adorable. And as I wake up, I become even more adorable.
Well, here's the revelation that I had recently that which sources us, that which continues to feed being into existence, God, if you will, the all-productive one, mm-hmm. is continually beholding everything in innocence because it's totally in the now. Like, one of the biggest arguments about the existence of God, that, you know, how do you account for, how is there a loving God if there's all this suffering in the world? Well, good question. Not an easy question to answer. And I'm not even going to attempt to answer, except to say that in the present, the moment is just what it is. And I'm reminded of a thing I saw on television. There was a PO prisoner who had been in, I think, a Vietnam prison camp for 8 years, and he described his tortures. And it was sounded utterly beyond any human could tolerate. And in the interview, and this is when he's, you know, I guess, 60, 70 years old, he's asked, do you wish it never happened? And you know what he said? He said, no, I don't wish that, because the lessons I've learned from it, it was worth it, or words to that effect. And that reminds me of a statement I heard where that the greatest affliction is never to have been afflicted. And I think sometimes it causes we have to be in deep affliction in order for us to become willing to be in that open vulnerable innocent space.
I know there's a line in this piece we just did where you say, but sometimes the way they treat each other just breaks my heart, and the other person says, I know it's all I can do to keep from jumping in and separating them, make them taking a time out. So yeah, I hear this man saying that, you know, that I learned so much from that, and I'm sure he did, because he was someone probably who realized that whatever happened to him, he could grow from it. The thing is that I could ask the question, like, could he not have grown without torture? I mean, could he have not grown but just having a few mishaps in his life? I mean, was his person or persona so stubborn that it couldn't have grown without that? I don't know. I think that things happen to us that we don't, I personally believe we don't control everything that happens to us. But I do believe we could definitely are in control of how we perceive and how we learn from what happens to us. And I guess, like, somebody else could have had the same experience and become bitter and cynical and want to torture somebody else the same exact way.
And many probably have.
Yeah. And so my question about innocent perception, which I'm so aware of in my own life, you know, wanting, there's something in me that just wants that constantly. But when we're little and we have it so naturally that it's like our birthright, how do we lose it? And then the question is, how do we get it back when we lose it? So, I mean, what makes us lose it? What is it, this torture, this
well,
betrayal, these
exactly.
All these things?
You know, we've talked about this before, but the issue of betrayal is, to me, at the core of so much of our covering over the innocence and denying ourselves access to a real life. But I do want to remind you, this is Inside Out. This is like a station identification thing. It's, you want to assume, yes, officer, here's my license. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And you can call in to us. If you have that number, let me give it to you again. It's 888-627-6008. The questions we're focusing on, and Rochelle just raised a variation on that, is what is this innocence and how do we lose it and how can we regain it? Because this is where we are right now. And what gets in our way and how can it serve us to have innocent mind, beginner's mind, be a child, and how can it? How can we get there?
Well, the interesting thing is, I think I remember in my own life the time when it hurt so much to be human on this planet. There was so much rejection and so much not being seen. I felt so unseen by so many people, including my parents. Well, not my parents, but let's say my mother. I felt like she could only see what she could see. You know, it's not that she didn't see me, but let's say, you know, she had her veils and she couldn't see beyond her veils, let's put it that way. And so therefore she couldn't see me and as I was. Now, I don't think I could have explained at that point in my life who I was that she could see. I mean, I was still becoming identified as something. I didn't have like a concrete identity, and maybe I never did, you know, or still don't.
Well,
it's too ephemeral.
I've tried to concretize you on several occasions.
Errol Strider, this is a G. Is it a G
what?
Show?
What?
No, it's not. It's not a G show. I didn't mean that. Go away. I'm the one who's thinking those things.
She got red.
I did.
She got
okay,
red. Here so I'm talking about concretizing her. This is what it says about my wife. I just used the word concretizing her, and she blushed.
Okay.
Now, you figure that out. I can't.
There's this, I often use this image, you know, that we need to be seen, we need to be heard, we need to be appreciated. A number of very well-known speakers have corroborated that using almost the same language and I think because it's so true. And so what happens in our innocence is we're out there, totally out there, exposed, vulnerable, and then we get slammed. You know, we get slammed in many different ways. I mean, we get physically slammed, we get emotionally slammed. We even get spiritually slammed in the sense that our soul is not recognized. You know, like we're denied our own existence by others. And I think what happens then is that they close a door, and I think when you close the door to protect yourself, that's when the innocence, because the innocence is behind that door. So if I close the door, it's not there anymore. It's not seen.
I think we alluded to betrayal, and I want to mention an article by James Hillman, a wise man, a psychologist, about betrayal and our reaction, our default reactions to betrayal, which in fact are the things that we use to cover over our innocence. And he says that we basically have five different like default reactions to the experience of betrayal in some degree of each or part of all or all of them or one of them. Anyway, here they are. One of them is, of course, anger. No, that's one reaction to having been betrayed. Another is cynicism. A third is, see if I remember them, self-betrayal.
Hi, everybody. Well, I feel like we were out on the golf course and there was lightning and they took us off the course. Somehow or other, we got interrupted.
Well,
we were in the middle of talking about how do we lose our innocence. And Errol talked about betrayal as being a definite factor in losing our innocence, betrayal by those that we trust, obviously.
Right. And I mentioned the article by James Hillman, in case you didn't get that, which I'm happy to send to you, which lists the five reactions that we tend to go into as a result of our inability to deal with betrayal: cynicism, anger, paranoia, self-betrayal, and there's one more.
She still hasn't come into your brain.
But if you write me, eastrider@gmail.com, it's really worth being aware of this, because for years I searched for, well, what is there, like the core, like, thing that is the fundamental dilemma, in the sense that one of those little animals that we eat, oysters. Oyster develops a pearl, right? It gets from what I understand, a very layman's interpretation, there's a little dust or something. It's an irritant, and he starts covering it over with to him is probably pus. I mean, if you think about it, to the oyster, it's probably the equivalent of our pus, but then it turns into this pearl of great price, as a matter of fact. So I realized that there must be something at the core of the human dilemma. And quite frankly, I believe that it is betrayal, that's that fundamental breakdown that happens to all of us in some way.
But
at
are
some
you
point.
Saying that the betrayal creates a pearl?
What I'm saying is that, like that, no, I'm saying what it creates, a reaction, habit, pattern, or behavior, like the pearl, not the pearl in terms of its value, but just as a way of coding that irritable place where we were betrayed. It covers it up with cynicism, and it grows anger around it, or it grows paranoia or self-betrayal, or
and,
the other one.
And isn't beautiful. It's quite unlike
no, it's an ugly pearl.
Pearl. It's not
right,
beautiful at
right,
all.
It's right.
It's the irritant itself has grown bigger. And my question, of course, is, like, having seen it, having tasted it, or having been to the mountain, so to speak.
Right.
How do you get it back? I mean, how do you get it back after you've been betrayed? What are the steps that one has to take to retrieve innocence?
Well, maybe this song might give us a hint, okay? It's called An Innocent Man by Billy Joel.
Mm.
It's got a swinging rhythm. So while you're listening to the show, I encourage you to get up on your feet.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool. They will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie. I know you're only protecting yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else, someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can. Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get a look at the young. I'm only willing to hear you cry because I am an innocent man. I am an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am. Some people say they will never believe another promise they hear in the dark, because they only remember too well they heard somebody tell them before. Some people sleep all alone every night instead of taking a lover to bed.
Some people find that it's easier to hate than to wait anymore. I know you don't want to hear what I say. I know you're gonna keep turning away. But I've been there, and if I can survive, I can keep you alive. I'm not above going through it again. I'm not above being cool for a while. If you're cruel to me, I understand. Some people run from a possible fight. Some people figure they can never win. And although this is a fight I can lose, the accused is an innocent man. That's your decision, but I'm not below anybody I know. If there's a chance of resurrecting a love, I'm not above going back to the start to find out where the heartache began. Some people hope for a miracle cure. Some people just accept the world as it is. I'm not willing to lay down and die because I am an innocent man. I am an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am an innocent man.
Wonder, wonder. That's the subject of this poem, which is what I experience when I have a moment of innocent perception. It's, well, wonder. Oh, wonder. Oh, I want to crawl inside you. Wonder, and investigate every fine particle of your rapturous recesses. Wonder. Oh, wonder. I would be caressed by you, enfolded in your infinite textures, swept up in the glory of your ineffable splendor. Wonder. Wonder, open-mouthed exclamation, too often felt only in dreams or out beyond the tip of my yearnings. My eyes are not big enough to contain you, oh wonder. Oh, wonder. You have been by my side for weeks, wanting to conclude every sentence I write to precede every thought. Wonder, full of wonder, to be wonderful. You beckon me to go beyond myself, hoping I'll never take no for an answer once I set out toward your mystery. Wonder, oh, wonder. You transcend my feeble attempts to know you with words. I would let you fill my being with awe as you parade before me in brilliance and ecstasy. Wonder. By Errol Strider.
Yes.
It's interesting because I believe that the elixir for staying young, not looking young or even feeling, well, yeah, feeling young, is wonder. And I think of wonder as two kinds of wonder. There's wonderful, which is the awe, and wonderment.
That's the chewing gum.
No, wonderment is wanting to know. Wanting to know is that expansion of consciousness that is about wonderment. And I mean, I like to bathe in wonder. And I realize when I ask, how do we get innocence back, is to bathe in wonder. To really, and Eckhart Tolle speaks of being in the now, and before him, of course, long time ago when I first heard that expression used, it was by Richard Alpert, who some people know as Ram Dass. And he said, be in the now, you know, and the now is not, has nothing to do with time. It has to do with connection, full unembarrassed connection, that we just connect to something, no matter what it is, so fully that it creates a dance with us. It creates delight. It creates wonder.
It reminds me, I had this insight once that you can love whatever it is you choose to do when you do it with someone you love. And I had that experience when I was under my dear good friend Don, who's now in Boulder. I've known for 40 years or so. We met when we were both dance students at Stevens College for Women.
I hate to tell you this, but it's longer than 40 years.
Okay. Okay. Anyway.
And how wonderful is that?
It is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. I was like, I have this friend, if she's listening, her name is Sandy. And Sandy, I've known since we're 12 years old. And we keep in touch, you know, email keeps us in touch with each other. And it's just little things like, how are you feeling? What's happening? It doesn't matter. The thing is, the connection is made. And 12 years old, and that's a lot of years in my life that has gone by. But every time we meet, it's like, this is the moment we're in. It's for me, you know, I meet her where she is at that moment in time, even when I'm writing to her an email, and that connection is pshaw. It's not about what we did when we were 12, but it's like right here, and all that we were at from 12 to this moment is part of that. It sort of like comes along, you know, it's like an avalanche. The snow just keeps coming down, and then you're at the bottom of the hill.
Well, that's the importance of having this childlike attitude, and we hope we've encouraged you to have this childlike attitude, and we'd love to hear from you again. So you can call us at 888-627-6008. And tonight we're focusing on becoming as a child. And to me, this is one of the three main practices that we can cultivate in our effort to wake up, become conscious, to enter the kingdom of heaven, to make a few steps closer to cosmic consciousness, enlightenment, being most authentic about who we actually are, embracing life without filters, directly, as Rochelle said, in the engagement, in the connection, making that connection so that the fullness that life might have to offer us, and we it, is allowed to transpire between us. And out of that, the universe continues to get brighter and brighter, just glows more and more. And this is what we've been asked to do and how we've been invited to participate. So we hope we've encouraged you to step a little out of that safe past orientation and whatever judgment systems that have colored your perceptions and consequent reactions to life. And
to me, the safest place to be on this planet is right here. I mean, now. I mean, that is the safest place to be, because there's no bugaboos in the now. The bugaboos are the places that we bring from the past and project into the future. But right here in that connection, you know, I don't know if it expands consciousness or not, but I do know one thing. It's very much more joyful than sitting in angst.
Well, one of the things that you can find that you'll
and
have.
I like that. I prefer being joyful.
Than angst. Well, sometimes angst, because it's comforting because we know angst, so we don't know if, what will be like if we take the angst off. Who knows what might be even worse. But one place where being innocent and having that kind of innocent perception is when you wake up tomorrow, remember, it's a brand new day, okay?
Some kind of magic happens late at night. When the moon smiles down at me and bathes me in its light, I fell asleep beneath you in the tall blades of grass. When I woke, the world was new. I never had. It's a brand new day. The sun is shining. It's a brand new day. For the first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay. Best part for last. And most stories have a hero who finds you make your past your past. Yeah, you make your past your past. It's a brand new day. The sun is shining. It's a brand new first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay.
Thank you, Joshua Radin, Brand New Day. And that's what we're all going to experience when we wake up in the morning. Some of you hopefully are listening from around the world maybe and are just waking up. And we'd like to remind you, this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth. I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Michelle Alicia Strider.
And we're going to be back next Tuesday night, Pacific time, 7 p.m., where we're going to get into the next significant step of the three steps that it takes. And we're going to, I'll send you some information on it. So watch our Facebook, go to our website, www.thelaughingheart.org, and you can see us live, in person, in performance, over 20, 30-year period of time, you know, when I was just like, you know, barely out of the womb.
Yeah, 30-year time. He was a fetus.
Yeah, I was a fetus, right. Yeah, I was a big fetus. So Mom always said, you were such a big fetus. But hey, Mom, you got me out. Good for you. So anyway, and our sponsor is Go Raw. Thank you. thank you, our good friend Robert at Go Raw.
I was talking to someone the other day who said she absolutely and positively loves their sunflower seeds.
Really? Well, there you go. You know, we encourage you to eat sunflower. Oh, wait a minute. We're not quite ready. Not quite ready to go there. We thought we had the our theme music, which, by the way, people say, where did you get that theme music? Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. It comes from a little clip I got from the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Believe it or not, if you go listen to the soundtrack, you might just find that. So come join us next Tuesday night. And any last remarks, Rochelle, about being innocent?
Well, it was the thing that just I loved so much was that song, It's a Brand New Day. I mean, I just remember that no matter what happens the day before, when I wake up in the morning, it is a brand new day. And I always try to remember to celebrate it, to wake up and be open to what's going to happen today.
And you have yourself a wonderful day tomorrow.